The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
You can relax. We're not going to do this one interactively as much with the singing and such, but that was great. As you have been seeing on the news or reading online, newspapers, hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees are fleeing their country because of the dangers of living there. The dangers of living in Syria have become just unlivable for people, so people are fleeing, running for their lives, really, because of civil war and ISIS pressing in on them and their families. And so these folks are just streaming to Turkey, to Greece, Italy, and coming up through Central and East Europe looking for refuge. Looking for some sense of security, a new place to rebuild life. We need to be continually praying for these folks and for leaders in Europe to figure out how to host them. It's a horrible situation. And when I think about their situation, I think about the words of Psalm 27 today. King David wrote the psalm And as you read through the psalm, it's obvious that he's in this unlivable type situation. He's surrounded by dangers. Quoting here, here's all the dangers he's facing. Evil men wanting to devour his flesh, he says. Enemies and foes, an advancing army, war, oppressors, false witnesses. And fear would and really should, in a sense, it would be the natural response to such a situation that David's in here. In fact, some form of the word fear is mentioned three times in the first three verses. So you see this battle, this tension going on within David. He's trying not to fear, but fear is right at his doorstep there. And in the battle against fear, you see how David comes to be victorious over the fear. You see that David has found a refuge from the fear. He's found the antidote to fear. And so we need to pay attention to his words and to his practice here, because we'll find the antidote for our fear, whatever's going on in our lives. And here's what it is. Here's the antidote to fear, simply, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. Rather than turning and focusing on all the things he could be afraid of, he turns and focuses on God's presence. The idea of God's presence is captured all throughout this psalm. In fact, in two verses here, verses 4 and 5, the dwelling place, God's presence, is mentioned four times. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 27 here. David prays this: "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." The house of the Lord's temple, the Lord's dwelling, the Lord's tabernacle, all ways to refer to God's presence. God's dwelling place mentioned four times there. So here's the secret. Basically, as David intentionally seeks to be and acknowledge God's presence with him, his fears are dispelled. His fears dissipate. Now back then, the sure way to enter into God's presence was to go to the tabernacle during David's time. And the tabernacle was a tent, a really nice tent, a very luxurious tent, but a tent nonetheless. And inside this tent, which was rather portable, the Israelites had the tent in the wilderness when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're in Jerusalem. David's the king, and they still have the tabernacle with them. Inside this tent was the Ark of the Covenant, that sacred golden chest. And inside the chest was the Ten Commandments. And God was thought to rule from the Ark of the Covenant. His throne was thought to be right above the Ark of the Covenant. And so the tabernacle, which housed the Ark of the Covenant, was thought to be God's dwelling place, the only sure place where God's presence could be, where they could find God. But since the tabernacle was like a tent, kind of a temporary setup, David wanted to build a permanent structure. David wanted to build God a temple, a permanent house for God to assure God's lasting presence among the people. But I think as God, wanted to do this for God, God, I want to build you a house. God told David in 2 Samuel 7, he said, David, and I think God was trying to teach David that, people, humans can't manipulate God's presence. Humans can't build or create the scaffolding, so to speak, to reach God. It is God who builds the scaffolding to reach us. And so God says to David, it's not you who are going to build me a house. God says, ironically, I'm going to build you a house. And I think, this is just an expression of grace, that God is going to build or create a way for God to be in their presence. It's not humans that can build a way for them to be in God's presence. And the house that God spoke of was not one made of bricks and mortar, but ultimately referred to David's royal dynasty, the rulers, the kings, and his family name, which would come after him. First Solomon, who indeed would build the temple, but much further, much later, down David's royal line, Jesus Christ, the king who could bring the presence of God closer than ever before. You see, Jesus claimed to be the house of God. Did you know that? Jesus claimed to be the house of God, the new temple. If you look in the Gospels, when the religious authorities asked for a miraculous sign from Jesus so that he would prove who he was to them, his authority to say these radical type of things, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple," Jesus said, "and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now the leaders were kind of scratching their heads, wondering, what's this guy talking about? You know, it took them 46 years to build that temple. And Jesus is saying he's going to build, you know, destroy it, and he can build it again in 3 days. But Jesus wasn't referring to the physical structure of the temple. Jesus was referring to his body. Destroy this temple. Put it in the grave, he was saying, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. In other words, Jesus is the new meeting place, was and is the new meeting place between God and people. It's where sinful people like David, sinful people like you and me can come into God's presence. He's the gate. He's the gateway to a relationship with God. Now, many of the Syrian refugees who are streaming into Europe and looking for safe haven, for refuge, are meeting, you know, walls or fences or locked gates. But as we look for refuge, spiritually speaking, the gate is wide open. It's unlocked, not only unlocked, it's wide open. God will take in every one of us looking for refuge. Jesus will receive every one of us who will come to him. And Jesus says it this way in John 14:23. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we," speaking of the Father and himself, "will come to him and make our home with him." Isn't that great? We will come and make our home with the person who comes to Jesus. God the Father and Jesus Christ will make their home with us through the Holy Spirit. We don't build the home for them. They build it for us. This is grace. The gift of God's presence is received and not earned. Now, we know it's evident in Psalm 27, but we don't have to read it in Psalm 27 to know. We know it when we wake up every day that this world is a dangerous place. This world is a very hard place. And there are many things which can get us, right? Many things we want to kind of throw the blanket over our head and hide from. There are a lot of things to be afraid of. And you and I, we battle fear every single day. What are your fears? Think about your fears. What are you really afraid of? And what are the fears underneath those fears? Well, the gospel that we see in Psalm 27, at least we see David pointing ahead to it, is that we don't have to live on the run from fear anymore. We don't have to live on the run from fear anymore. We have a refuge. God's presence with us is our refuge. Verse 5, Psalm 27 here says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." Here's how the Apostle Paul puts the same idea of God being our refuge. Colossians chapter 3, 1, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. Our lives are, this is a bit mysterious, but our lives are hidden away with Christ. Our lives are sheltered, are lifted up high upon a rock through Christ who keeps us. Because as Christ is with us, we are ultimately safe and secure. It's still a dangerous world. That's not going to go away. We still can get hurt. We still can suffer all kinds of hardships. We still suffer sickness and disease and death even. But we share in the life of Jesus Christ. He is with us. He is with us. He is the one who died. So we died with him, but he is the one who was raised up in 3 days, and we share in that resurrection life as well. Picture your life with Jesus. He's holding your hand, maybe think of it that way, so that wherever you go, it's you and Jesus. You don't battle the things in your life alone. It is God and you, and God can handle it. That's our refuge. That's where we get our confidence. Our future security is assured by the victory of Jesus Christ, and so in him, all will be well. Ultimately, all will be well. If Jesus, if God is for us, who can be against us, the scriptures say. So it comes down to this. This is a very simple message. When you are afraid, when you are fearful, do what David did. Rather than focus on the source of your fear, rather than dwell on the fear or what's behind the fear, the source of your fear, focus on the Lord's presence in your life. As David says, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I love that image. David says, all I want, God, is to be in your temple and to gaze upon your beauty. We don't need to be in this sanctuary even to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Wherever we go, God is with us. You can stop and reflect on the beauty of the Lord. You're not alone. It's the Lord and you together. I'm reminded of the African-American spiritual, Ain't Got Time to Die, it's called. And I can't sing it, but the first few lines capture this. You know, Lord, I keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. I keep so busy praising my Jesus. I ain't got time to die. Does that make sense? We ain't got time to face all these things we're scared of because we're too busy praising Jesus. So we worship the Lord when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, stop and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And your fears will be dispelled. Your fears will just melt away in his presence. Our lives are hid away with Jesus Christ, who was dead but is now alive forever and ever. So the battle is the Lord's. Let's sing about that. Let's stand, would you, and let's sing that last song together.